Thanks for tuning in to another situational report from SITREP Israel, providing automated situational updates covering security developments in Israel and the region. Updates weekdays at 9 a.m. and 20 p.m. Israel time. And now your host, Mr. Mike Radish.
I'm Daniel Rosehill, based in Jerusalem, reporting for SITREP Israel. Welcome to the evening edition of SITREP Israel, our automated situational report covering Israel's security fronts. This SITREP was generated on Friday, the 29th of May, 2026, at 18:16 Israel time, 15:16 UTC. Netanyahu confirms IDF Crossletani as US-Iran truce hangs on Trump approval, May 29th, 15:16 UTC, 18:16 Israel, evening edition. Bottom line up front, Prime Minister Netanyahu confirmed that troops of the 36th Division crossed the Latani River and advanced to dominating terrain in southern Lebanon, while the IDF struck Hezbollah targets across the south and in the Bekaa Valley. The US and Iran reached a tentative 60-day ceasefire memorandum of understanding pending President Trump's approval, though both sides publicly disputed its contents. In Gaza, Netanyahu ordered the IDF to expand control to 70% of the strip, violating the October ceasefire, and the IDF eliminated the deputy commander of Hamas's Gaza City Brigade. The UN added Israel to its sexual violence in conflict blacklist, drawing sharp Israeli condemnation. The IDF chief of staff, touring positions in the Mount Dove area, said over 7,500 Hezbollah operatives have been eliminated since the war began, including 2,500 since the start of Operation Roaring Lion. On the home front, Israel extended the special situation until June 16, indicating sustained restrictions in northern communities. Now, turning to the regional sections. In Iran, the ceasefire memorandum reportedly includes phased sanctions relief, unfreezing of assets, and a possible $300 billion post-war investment fund for reconstruction. But the public statements tell a different story. Iranian parliament speaker and lead negotiator Mohammad Bagher Ghalibaf stated that Iran secures concessions, quote, not through dialogue, but through missiles, and expressed no trust in US guarantees. Deputy Foreign Minister Ali Bagheri Kani demanded unconditional release of frozen assets. The Strait of Hormuz remains closed at 4% of pre-war capacity, moving just two tankers a day, while Brent crude fell to $92.56, down in 19% in May on ceasefire optimism. A supermajor warned prices could hit $160 if the deal fails. On the Iranian leadership front, Mojtaba Khamenei has been sidelined from the operational structure, according to an OSINT summary. IRGC officials touted military readiness with Deputy Foreign Minister Kazem Gharib Abadi, describing the IRGC's response to US, quote, mischiefs as demonstrating full readiness. Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi discussed the Strait of Hormuz and its future management with his Omani counterpart, emphasizing Iran's sovereign responsibilities. Iran also condemned US threats against Oman, calling them an attempt to blackmail an independent UN member state. Away from the diplomatic track, internal repression continues. A 35-year-old man has been missing since the January 8 Tehran protests. 22 professors and activists called for the release of opposition figures Mir Hossein Mousavi and Zahra Ranvard. A teacher and father of three was shot and killed in Isfahan. On the economic front, US imposed new restrictions on Iranian airlines, warning that any cooperation by companies with Iranian carriers could trigger sanctions. Some 20,000 containers of Iranian cargo are stuck in Pakistani ports due to financial and logistical bottlenecks. Moving to Lebanon beyond the Latani crossing, the operational picture widened. Netanyahu stated, quote, we are operating in Beirut as well, in the Bekaa as well, across the entire front, at striking Hezbollah hard. Israeli warplanes struck targets in Al-Sarafand, Shukin in Sariyeh, Dibayn Safad al-Batik, Bay Sariyeh, and the outskirts of Sarafand. A drone bombed a vehicle in Marub. Hezbollah claimed multiple attacks on Israeli forces, including a squadron of attack drones targeting the newly established Israeli site of Nimra al-Jamal, and FPV drone strikes on Merkava tanks in Rashaf on May 26. Sirens sounded in northern Israel due to hostile aircraft infiltration near Evin Menachem and in the area of Hanita. A loitering munition exploded in Mechila. The civilian toll is deepening. A Reuters investigation found that Israeli evacuation orders and attacks now affect nearly one-fifth of Lebanon's territory, forcing hundreds of thousands from their homes. Haaretz reported that the ceasefire has brought little respite, with a steadily expanding swath of southern Lebanon becoming a civilian no-go zone. On the diplomatic side, the Pentagon hosted the first round of a new military dialogue between Lebanon and Israel with the Lebanese Armed Forces Director of Operations and the head of the Israeli military's strategic division leading their delegations. Lebanese President Joseph Aoun told U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio that a ceasefire is essential. Hezbollah MP Hassan Fadlala warned against providing political cover for Israeli escalation and vowed the resistance would thwart Israeli goals. In Gaza, Netanyahu's expansion order to seize 70% of the strip goes beyond the temporary yellow line set in Trump's 20-point peace plan. Germany expressed concern over the plan, marking a shift in Berlin's stance. The IDF and Shin Bet eliminated Imad Hassan Hussein Aslim, the deputy commander of Hamas's Gaza City Brigade and commander of the Zaytun Battalion, in a precise strike in the northern strip. Aslim had commanded the battalion's infiltration into Israel during the October 7 massacre. On the humanitarian front, displacement and hunger are pushing desperate families to marry off their children. Around 20.6% of marriages in Gaza last year involved girls under 18, many facing abuse and difficult pregnancies. Separately, the French foreign minister instructed state prosecutors to investigate Israel's treatment of French nationals arrested during a military raid on an aid flotilla bound for Gaza. In the West Bank, Israeli authorities completely closed the Ibrahimi Mosque in Hebron until further notice, stripping the municipality of its authority to maintain and manage the site and transferring control to an Israeli administration. An Arab-Israeli teen was arrested on terror suspicions in the killing of a married couple, Olga and Rusan Priol, who were found shot dead in the Judean foothills. Police ruled out murder-suicide. The suspect's brother carried out a 2024 ramming attack. On the multilateral track, the UN Secretary General added Israel to the annual blacklist of parties committing sexual violence in conflict alongside Hamas. A UN report accused Israeli security forces of raping and sexually assaulting 31 Palestinians, including 10 children, in the past years. Israeli Ambassador Danny Danan confirmed the listing and condemned it. First Lady Michelle Herzog and National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir also denounced the move. The US House version of the 2027 National Defense Authorization Act includes provisions to further integrate US and Israeli militaries, sparking debate. US Marine Corps is advancing with Israeli interceptor technology to address air and missile defense vulnerabilities. Yemen's internationally recognized government announced the creation of a new naval force backed by Saudi Arabia and with US political support to challenge Houthi control of the Red Sea and Bab al-Mandeb Strait. The Houthis and Iran condemned the move. Moving to the analysis first, the trend. The tempo of Israeli ground operations in Lebanon has accelerated sharply, with the IDF crossing the Litani for the first time in this conflict, a qualitative escalation beyond the prior pattern of airstrikes and limited incursions. The protagonist set has remained stable, but the scale and depth of Israeli maneuvers have expanded, moving from targeted strikes to division-level advances. Hezbollah's response has been persistent but not yet proportional to the IDF's ground push, suggesting a possible operational pause or recalibration. The US-Iran diplomatic track has shifted from stalled talks to a tentative memorandum, yet the public contradictions indicate the deal is more a framework for further negotiation than an imminent cessation. The overall trajectory is one of intensifying kinetic activity on the Lebanon front, coupled with a fragile diplomatic opening that has not yet translated into de-escalation. On the information environment, Israel is pushing a narrative of decisive military progress, with Netanyahu and the IDF chief of staff emphasizing territorial gains and high enemy casualties to project momentum. Hezbollah's framing focuses on continued resistance and the infliction of losses on Israeli forces, and aiming to sustain the perception of a costly stalemate. US and Iran are engaged in a parallel information contest over the ceasefire memorandum. Washington leaks suggest a pathway to reopening the Strait of Hormuz, while Iranian officials publicly dismiss trust in US guarantees and highlight missile-based leverage. No text has been released, and both sides are spinning the terms to their domestic audiences, indicating the deal is primarily a messaging tool at this stage. The Lebanese government's call for a ceasefire is being drowned out by the dominant military narratives from both Israel and Hezbollah and the synthesis. The IDF's Litani crossing is less a tactical necessity than a strategic signal aimed at both Hezbollah and the US-Iran negotiation table. It demonstrates that Israel can escalate unilaterally even as a ceasefire is being discussed, thereby strengthening its bargaining position. The timing, coinciding with the memorandum's pending Trump approval, suggests Netanyahu is creating facts on the ground to preempt any deal that might constrain Israeli freedom of action in Lebanon. A counter-reading is that the advance is purely military, designed to degrade Hezbollah's launch capabilities before a potential truce. However, the public confirmation and the explicit mention of Beirut and the Bekaa Valley indicate a broader political objective. The synthesis is that Israel is leveraging the diplomatic window to maximize territorial gains, betting that neither Hezbollah nor the US will risk a wider confrontation to stop it and to wrap up the OSINT indicators and dual lens predictions. First, the indicators to watch: check Sentinel, one imagery over southern Lebanon on May 30 to detect new IDF vehicle concentrations north of the Litani River. Monitor flight radar 24 for any US tanker sorties out of Al Udeid Air Base toward the Persian Gulf within the next 48 hours, indicating potential strike package preparation. Review Maxar imagery of Bandar Abbas Naval Base from May 30 to assess IRGC naval vessel dispersal or increased activity. Now looking at the predictions through a status quo lens, the US-Iran ceasefire memorandum will not be signed by President Trump within the next 72 hours. Hezbollah will launch at least one drone attack on an IDF position north of the Litani River within the next 48 hours. The IDF will announce the capture of an additional village or strategic hilltop in southern Lebanon within the next 24 hours. Now looking at the same indicators through an escalation lens with low confidence across the board. An IRGC-affiliated militia in Syria will launch a rocket or drone attack on a US base in eastern Syria within the next 48 hours, citing the US-Iran tensions. The IDF will conduct airstrikes deeper into the Bekaa Valley, targeting Hezbollah logistical hubs not previously struck in this campaign within the next 36 hours. Hezbollah will fire a medium-range rocket at Haifa for the first time since the conflict began, within the next 72 hours. That concludes this Sitrap. For more, visit sitrapisr.com or subscribe on Telegram at t.me/Israel_Sitraps. This is Daniel Rosehill signing off from Jerusalem.